Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Osisko Gold Royalties Q2 2019 results conference call. After the presentation, we will conduct a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please pick up your receiver and press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. Please note that this conference is being recorded today, August 1, 2019, at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Today on the call, we have Mr. Sean Roosen, Chair of the Board of Directors and CEO of Osisko Gold Royalties, Mr. Brian Coates, President, and Ms. Elif Levesque, Chief Financial Officer and VP of Finance. I would now like to turn the meeting over to our host for today's call, Mr. Sean Roosen. Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs, et bienvenue à l'appel conférence des résultats du deuxième trimestre de l'année 2019 de redevances aurifères Osisko Limité. Après la présentation, nous procéderons à une séance de questions et réponses. Si vous désirez poser une question, veuillez décrocher le combiné du téléphone et appuyer sur la touche étoile suivie du numéro 1. Veuillez prendre note que cet appel est enregistré aujourd'hui, le 1er août 2019, à 10h de l'Est. Nous avons sur l'appel aujourd'hui M. Sean Roosen, président du conseil d'administration et chef de la direction de redevances aurifères Osisko, M. Brian Coates, président, et Mme Elif Levesque, chef de la direction financière et vice-présidente aux finances. J'aimerais maintenant céder la parole à votre hôte, M. Sean Roosen.
Merci, operator. Bienvenue à la paix conférence deuxième trimestre de Osisko pour 2019. On a une présentation qui se trouve sur notre site web qui est marqué deuxième trimestre. Il y a aussi un petit disclaimer sur la première page. Et on va continuer avec la présentation à Montréal avec l'équipe qui est là. Moi, je me trouve ici à Vancouver aujourd'hui. Et c'est Brian Coates, Elif Levesque, Joseph de la Plante et André Lebel qui va continuer la présentation. Welcome to the second quarter results presentation for Osisko Gold Royalties today. We have a presentation on our website, marked Q2 2019, in the investment sector under presentations that we'll be following this morning. Within that presentation, we have a forward-looking statement disclaimer. Please observe that as we will be making a few statements. I'm attending the Sprott Investment Conference, Natural Resource Investment Conference here in Vancouver this morning. So I'll be handing it over to the Montreal team with Brian Coates, Elif Levesque, and Joseph de la Plante and André Lebel to go through the deck with you. However, I wanted to thank our friends from Orion Capital in New York. We most recently repurchased some of the positions within the Orion portfolio of Osisko stock, and our friend Oscar Lanowski, who has been a board member with the company since 2017, has resigned. I wanted to thank Oscar and the Orion team for the great support with the company throughout that period during the transaction in 2017. We acquired their royalty and streaming portfolio at the time, and they continue to be strong supporters of the company with over 6% of the stock. And we thank the Orion team for getting this done in the quarter. And the team in Montreal is going to take you through the deck and talk a little bit more about that as we get into it. Thank you very much. And I'll be on for all the questions at the end as well. Thank you. Brian, over to you.
Thanks, Sean. Good morning, everyone. The key event for us in our second quarter was obviously the reduction of the Orion shareholding to 6.2%. On June 25th, we announced a secondary offering by Orion of 9 million shares, and also a transaction where we swapped portions of our equity book in return for 12.4 million shares that were acquired by Osisko and canceled. So overall, we've reduced the basic common shares outstanding by 8% without affecting our cash flow generating assets. We also will be realizing savings of $2.5 million in dividends per annum as we maintain our dividend payout under the current dividend payout. To date, we've returned $320 million to our shareholders through dividends of $101.2 million and share buybacks totaling $219.6 million. So our buyback cost was $13.67. The other aspect in the quarter that's very interesting for us is the rise in the gold market. We're very pleased to see the increase both in the U.S. and Canadian dollar account. We believe that, we're just getting into a very good gold market. Gold closed the quarter above 1400, and we believe that we're very well positioned to capture value through our royalty, our growing royalty portfolio, as well as our investment in our associates. So this gold price, we believe, will continue to be strong, given that we believe that the U.S. dollar will weaken and the high debt levels. And if you add a little bit of geopolitical tension, it has all the good ingredients to reach record highs again. For the second quarter, our highlights were we received 19,651 GEOs. Our revenues from royalties and streams were $33.8 million, $131 million if we include the offtakes. Our net cash flow from operating activity was at $21.4 million. We incurred a net loss of $6.5 million, or 4 cents per share, and a lift will go through, but many of that loss is basically generated from non-cash costs, and she'll go through that. Our adjusted earnings were $8.2 million, or 5 cents per share. During the quarter, we closed the first tranche of the share repurchase with Orion, $403.2 million, and subsequent to the quarter end, we completed the sale or the exchange of Victoria shares and canceled another 5 million common shares. Our board yesterday declared a 5-cent dividend. It will be our 21st dividend for shareholders on record on September 30th, and the dividend will be paid on October 15th. During the quarter, we also participated in the Renard restructuring, and we continue to be focused on that. So again, if we look at our comparison, 19,651 GEOs compared to 20,506 GEOs last year. Our cash margin was 90% versus 87% last year. We maintain our guidance based on the operator's forecast. So our guidance is maintained at between 85 and 95,000 GEOs for 2018. On slide 8, you have our portfolio of royalties that were within by asset that generated our GEOs. Again, Canadian Malartic flagship asset basically had one of their best quarters. I think it's the second best quarter they've had, and we continue to benefit from that outstanding asset. When we look at our growth, again, we feel that we have one of the best growth profile within the royalty sector. Looking at a growth to 85 to 95,000 ounces for 2019 with an 88% cash margin. We're very excited that we're going to get a new royalty, that we should be receiving gold from a new royalties asset that we did in 2018, which is the Eagle Project. We have a 5% NSR on the project. The construction is 95% completed. Roughly 1.3 million tons were mined. And basically, the team up there is going through the commissioning and the startup, or has been going to the leach pad, and we certainly hope to see the first go down. They will be pouring gold in September 2019. So overall, we're very excited about this. It has been a good construction, and we congratulate the Eagle project team and encourage them to have a very successful ramp up. Unfortunately, during the quarter, we've been busy on working on some of our portfolio of assets that have some issues. At Renard, we're working with various financial partners to support the company in pursuing a restructuring transaction. And at Almasar, we continue to maintain positive dialogue with the government around the eventual restart of the project. And the financial stakeholders, partners in the project, continue to provide their ongoing support to the company. With the rising gold price, we really feel that as our some of our portfolio of royalties and streams will be coming on stream as there's new mine development. And on page 12 of the presentation, we highlight a number of opportunities which we think will be coming forward over 2020 and 2021 and up to 2025. And we're very excited about Eagle coming in. We've had great things happening on Windfall, very encouraged there. And we believe that the Odyssey project will also be generating some great royalties for our company in the near term. Quick word on our accelerator companies. At Osisko Mining, the team there has been very successful when they're going a million-meter drilling program, probably one of the largest in the country, certainly one of the largest in the country. They've had identified some new discoveries. We expect to see a feasibility study in 2020, and they just raised over $40 million, of which $30 million was flow through. So very exciting there, and as we continue to monitor the drill results, and seeing that resource base increasing. At Barkerville, where we own 32%, we've got an updated underground resource, and we continue to carry out exploration work to delineate further reserves and try to discover new deposits. At Falco, where we own just under 20%, we've got a feasibility study on one of the most exciting deposits. It's advanced. We've got ongoing dialogue with the stakeholders, including government and Glencore, and we're working very hard at advancing this project so we can deliver the EIA as well as going to public hearings. Osisko Metals, where we have a 10.6% ownership, is doing some exciting things and has very positive results in our base metals, particularly at the Pine Point project in Canada's north. Recently, they've raised $10 million, so they're well-funded. Overall, our accelerator company has a combined market cap of $1.4 billion. Turn it over to Alyssa.
Thank you, Brian. So we had a strong quarter in terms of our operating metrics. The GEOs were slightly lower compared to the same period last year, but the 4% shortfall was more than compensated with higher cash margins, mainly from a strong gold price. So we had 21% higher gross profits and 39% higher operating income. We're continuing to review our G&A and business development expenses in an effort to reduce them further, including the conversion of our deferred and restricted share units to settlement in equity instead of cash, which will reduce the volatility considerably and reduction of our board size as well. The higher cash margins have also had a positive impact on the operating cash flow, generating $21.4 million compared to $19.7 million. Our earnings were impacted by some non-cash items during the quarter, mainly related to the disposition of Highland Copper as part of the share repurchase transaction with Orion, and also some non-cash share of loss of associates of $8.8 million during the quarter. As a reminder, we report our associates under the equity method, which are mainly exploration companies, and report our percentage of their losses, which was affected by some impairments for this quarter. So if we look at the next two pages, the first one gives kind of a breakdown of the different types of instruments that we have, royalty streams and offtakes, and you will see that we had a strong quarter representing 89.8% cash margin compared to an 87.3% cash margin the same period last year, mainly a result of higher, revenues from royalties. And if you look at page 17, in terms of our per-share metrics, as the Orion transaction was closed at the end of June, we're not really seeing the positive impact just yet, but we will be starting the third quarter of 2019 to see the positive impacts of that. So we should hopefully see some increase in terms of our per-share net earnings and per-share cash flow. Page 18, our financial position. So currently, we still stand pretty strong with a firing power of over $800 million if you look at our cash, our investments, and our available credit facility of $450 million.
Thanks, Elif. We'd just like to take a moment here to just reflect on 5 years of operation that we started our business in June 2014 with four royalties and a market cap of $500 million. Today, we have over 135 royalty streams and metal offtake agreements. Our market cap is at $2.2 billion. We've done two major acquisitions, acquiring Victoria and acquiring the Orion portfolio, acquiring Virginia Mine and the Eleanor Royalty, and also the Orion portfolio of streams, royalties, and offtake agreements. We've distributed over $100 million in dividends, and we've bought back for $219 million of shares. We've raised $1 billion in permanent and temporary capital, while creating also the accelerator business. And we highlighted that that business today has a market cap of approximately $1.4 billion. So in doing that, we really established ourselves as one of the largest explorer and developer in Canada and being well-positioned to capture the rising gold price that we have. So in summary, we believe that we're the peer-leading. By investing in Osisko, you're getting a peer-leading exposure to Canadian assets. During the quarter, we, received 19,651 ounces of GEOs. Our guidance is being maintained, 85,000 to 95,000 GEOs for 2019. We continue to deliver our quarterly dividend. The dividend yield is about 1.3%. We've got a strong balance sheet, as the LIFT outlined, ready to fund our continued growth program. And we've been returning value to our shareholders through buybacks as well as dividends. So $320 million has been delivered back to our shareholders. As of June 30th, we have investments of $282 million, and we have cash resources of $84 million. So well-positioned to continue growing the business. With that, Sean, I can pass it back to you.
Thank you very much, Brian. And then at this point in time, we'll open up the call for questions.
J'aimerais maintenant vous rappeler que pour poser une question, appuyez sur l'étoile suivie du 1 sur votre clavier téléphonique. And to ask a question, if you'd like, please press star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from Cosmos Chu from CIBC. Your line is open.
Bonjour, Sean, Brian, and Elise. Merci beaucoup for a very good presentation today. Maybe my first question is on the guidance here. You know, your guidance, you've kept it at 85 to 95,000 ounces. You've done about 39,000 ounces in the first half. clearly your second half has to be stronger. You know, what is that dependent on? Is that, you know, Yigo, Lamac, are there any other ones that I might be missing?
Go ahead, Brian.
So, Cosmos, thanks for the question. Cosmos, we're counting on Canadian Malartic, Eleanor, having strong second semester, as mm-hmm. well as Eagle coming on stream. We believe that that will be the driving force for our growth.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, on Yigo, any concerns about, you know, it is in the end a heap leach. And so, you know, based on leach kinetics and delivery and, you know, any concerns that if there's any setbacks at Yigo that could impact your ability to get to your, you know, even your 85,000 ounces?
Well, Cosmo, as you know, we are in the mining business. I think we're in pretty good shape at Eagle, but as you said, we are going to start to run the leach circuit here pretty soon. So, you know, we're starting out in the near surface oxide zone, which is the easiest zone. And the material that's going on the pad right now looks very good. So we're quite hopeful that things are – the wind is behind us on this project. And we continue mm-hmm. to build forward on that. I don't know if you've had a chance to get up there, but things are in extremely good shape at Eagle right now. It's been one of the better mine builds we've seen.
Mm-hmm. Great. And maybe switching gears a little bit here, you know, based on the histogram that you put in your presentation, Renault, the diamond asset is, you know, a significant part of your income, of your cash flow. And clearly in Q2, you know, diamond prices were not great, you know, at least the realized price at the mine, $76 U.S. per carat. I'm just wondering about, you know, your point of view in terms of diamond prices. And, you know, I don't know if you can share with us, like, internally, how do you look at it? What kind of diamond price do you put in your models?
I'll let Brian and the guys answer that one. They've been on the stored away file significantly, but I'll just add a general comment that
mm-hmm.
you know, we all expected that diamond prices would have some pressure on them in 2019 and 20, and then it should start to see a supply-demand market developing as projects come offline, like Argyle and some of the other De Beers assets. So, Brian, over to you.
Sure. Thanks, Sean. I mean, you know, the whole, Sean just highlighted, the whole diamond market has been suffering from very tough conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And in return, Stornoway has its challenge. So we're working with them from an internal planning process where we're currently reviewing the diamond prices and trying to see how that affects, you know, our plan going forward. We were into the 90, 95 dollars per carat as part of our planning process.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly hope that you know, we can have some improvements into the operations of the mine as well as the market recovers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess as you said with Renault, based on the quality of the diamonds coming out, based on, you know, the size and everything else, it's really twofold. You know, the general market could come up, and as the quality of the diamonds coming out of the mine itself improves as well, that could be, you know, an improvement on two fronts.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And then, you know, certainly the big deal in Q2 was, you know, Osisko Gold Royalties monetizing some of the portfolio investments or divesting some of the portfolio investments. With, you know, what happened in Q2 and the monetization of, you know, Victoria Gold shares and some of the other ones here, looking ahead, should we look at your incubator, you know, accelerator model any differently? How should we look at it?
Well, I think, you know, Cosmo, we've talked about the accelerator model now for 5 years. It was conceptual in nature when we brought it to the market. Both Orion and Arizona would have, you know, would be an example of the accelerator equity model having gone full circle where the equity was monetized, and we've continued on as carrier holders of the royalty. In this case, rather than an open market monetization, it was with our partners at Orion. And I think that when we clearly stated what we wanted to do with this incubation and accelerator process in the beginning, this was part of it. So I think it goes to proof of concept that we've been successful both at holding equity royalties and streams, and then the occasional situation, more complicated project finance structures. Mm-hmm. And I think that as we see project financing evolve and streaming evolve, our accelerator model will become a fairly standard part of the industry that was conceptual 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Maybe one last question here, focusing on Canadian Malartic. As you mentioned, one of the growth areas is Odyssey and the NSR you have on Odyssey. My understanding is that it's actually, a few separate parts to it. There's your Odyssey South. There's a different part for Odyssey North. And I also believe that you have the royalty on East Malartic. Could you maybe piece it together for me in terms of, based on your understanding, when those ones are coming in, which one's going to come in first, and which one could potentially benefit OR first?
I think, Cosmo, it's not appropriate for us to get too far into the detail of that structure, as we're not the authors of the Odyssey Development Program. It's being run by the joint venture.
Okay.
We're quite keen to see the Odyssey project go forward. It's a very significant underground resource. We drilled into it when in the spring of 2014. It's evolved significantly since then and represents a significant increase in the resource at the Canadian Malartic site and property. We have two pieces to Odyssey North and South. And maybe, Joe, do you want to step in and provide a little more color?
Yeah. Hi, Cosmo.
Hi, Joseph.
Essentially, there's, as Sean mentioned, there's three zones. There's East Malartic, Odyssey North, and Odyssey South. The interesting thing is that a lot of the mineralization falls under our existing 5% NSR royalty, mostly in the East Malartic area. I don't think there's a current finalized plan in terms of how they want to develop all of this, but there seems to be the potential for an operation from zero to call it 600 meters that could perhaps ramp down into both Odyssey and East Malartic, with a lot of that material being on our ground where we have our higher royalty. So I think that can give you some guidance there in terms of how we're thinking about it, but we won't know until the operators make a final determination in terms of the plan.
Yeah, of course. Great. Those are all the questions I have. Thanks, Sean, Brian, Joseph, and Elise. And thanks again.
Your next question comes from Kerry Smith from Haywood Securities. Your line is open.
Thanks, operator. Sean, do you have an internal expectation for ounces of production out of Eagle this year?
I think, we've been pretty conservative. We've looked for a minimum amount of ounces, and I'm not going to put a big number out there at this point in time. And we'll let the company come to guidance once they get the pad loaded and start the process. But there should be, initial gold production this year. And then, as the pad gets more stabilized into next year, but it is a ramp up, the next 18 months is ramp up for this project. And obviously the leach kinetics will stabilize better and temperature management will be easier once we have more rock on the pad. But I think, we'll get some initial production going this year. And as I said, the material that's going on the pad right now looks very good in terms of leachability, and hopefully that carries through into gold production.
Okay. And maybe Brian can answer this question. Do you have a sense for the timing on the Renard restructuring?
Well, it's an ongoing process. I would expect we will get something through in the third quarter.
Okay, so completed this year then at worst case, Brian. Is that fair?
Absolutely. That would be what I've been hearing from the company.
Okay. And one last question. Do you know if the Mantos Blancos expansion has been approved by the board? I'm just trying to, it's hard to find information, but do you know what the status is of that?
Gary, it's Joseph here. They have finished the studies. They are currently putting together the financing package. And we understand that's going well. And once that is in place, would likely get the go ahead from the company and the board to proceed with the expansion.
Okay. So again, maybe by year end that might be formally approved then. Would that be reasonable?
Yes.
Okay. And do you know how long the construction is for that expansion?
I think we're looking roughly 18 months.
18 months. Okay. Okay, that's great. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Terry.
We have no further questions. I turn the call back over to the presenters.
Thanks, everybody, and appreciate the support throughout the quarter. We had quite a bit of busy quarter with the balance sheet and the treasury, and we're set the course to take advantage of these rising gold markets. And just by way of tone from the conference here in Vancouver, being run by Rick Rule and the Sprott Group, it's very good to see quite a bit of energy coming back into the space as we're here. So I wish everybody a good summer and hopefully make some money as we head for Denver in September. Thanks very much, everybody. Merci beaucoup.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect. Ceci m'est fait à notre conférence d'aujourd'hui. Vous pouvez maintenant raccrocher.